Now, this year so far, at least 3 pedestrians have been killed in vehicle-related crashes in our state. Victims included a 77-year-old woman in Madison, a 57-year-old man in Caledonia, and 17-year-old Sasha Rosen, who was hit by a car while on his way to school in Madison.
Last year, 42 pedestrians died in vehicle-related crashes in Wisconsin. Though pedestrian deaths in Wisconsin have been decreasing since 2022, traffic engineers say there are still ways drivers and city planners can do more to reduce deaths.
To hear about ways to make streets safer for pedestrians, we have Andy Bill, Associate Director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. And Andy stepped away from a conference to join us. Andy, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
What are some of the main factors in pedestrian-related crashes? What comes up?
For sure. That's a great question. As we're thinking about them, there is, what does the roadway infrastructure look like? What are the types of vehicles that are on the roadway? What are the speeds that are happening on that roadway? And then what is happening with the interaction between the drivers and the pedestrians itself? We kind of think about this as a system, and we like to call it a safe system. And so it's broken up into 5 major components: the users, the vehicles, the speeds, the roads, and the post-crash care component of it.
What is the post-crash care component? What does that entail?
So as we're thinking about it, is how quickly does our ambulance or first responders get notified of a crash? And then how quickly can that person then get to a, you know, trauma one center if they need it or things of that sort? So in our urban areas, notifications happen a lot quicker and there are things that happen that go along with that. But as we think about our rural areas, we do have to be really careful in terms of what is happening out there in terms of, is someone going to notice them? How quickly does it get to a trauma one center, and what do we look like for that?
Andy, when you look at the data around the state, how common are pedestrian-related crashes in Wisconsin?
Yeah, unfortunately, as we're thinking about it, it is pretty consistent in our pedestrian fatalities across the state. We're continuously seeing them between 50 and 60, sometimes even up to 80 fatalities amongst our state. We did see a decrease in 2025 from about, you know, an average of 70-ish down to 50. So we're moving in the right direction, but we're still seeing way too many of our pedestrians dying on our roadways, along with our drivers and our bicyclists and everybody else.
And you note that these crashes can be complicated. What are some of the scenarios that could contribute to a crash?
There are scenarios such as somebody is walking on a rural highway or running or, you know, out for exercise that goes along with it. And then maybe there's a curb that comes up and drivers aren't expecting to see a pedestrian out there. And so we then have those interactions between a driver maybe not paying 100% attention and then not thinking that there'd be a pedestrian out there and then having a crash like that. In our urban areas, we see situations where people are running late and we're seeing some speeding issues or just traveling too fast for conditions and, you know, trying to kind of push their way through traffic and not see a pedestrian. In our urban areas, too, we see that there's a lot of things going on and competing for our drivers' kind of frame of reference and what they're looking at, right? So you might see lights, you might see parked cars, and then all of a sudden there's a pedestrian there that you don't expect to see, right? So there's that expectancy that's kind of changing a little bit. And so we're trying to kind of balance all of those. And the unfortunate part about it is just basic physics. A human body is not meant to withstand crash forces, and especially if that crash force is from a vehicle itself, right? That is a very large kinetic energy transfer, and that's what causes a crash to become a severe crash or a fatal crash, is that energy transfer.
What are you seeing by way of phones and the electronics in the car? What impact is that having?
For sure. I mean, we are seeing more distracted driving out there. We've always had distractions in our vehicles, but now we have more things that are happening and more things that are competing for our driver's attention that goes along with it. And so, especially in the areas where we have, it's the two sides, right? In our rural areas, people that are distracted and not thinking that they might see a pedestrian, that comes up quickly. And in our urban areas, that distraction is just inside the vehicle and outside that vehicle. And so it's really thinking about how do all of this kind of play together.
I want to turn to Vision Zero, and in counties all over Wisconsin, the Vision Zero initiative that aims to eliminate traffic fatalities. What are some of the specific changes that cities are implementing in their toolbox of options to make this a reality?
It's a great point. I think a lot of folks don't think that Vision Zero is possible. My question always back to that is, okay, then who, right? Nobody wants any of their family members to die from a motor vehicle collision or crash that goes along with it. The areas that are looking at Vision Zero are really looking at how do we adapt the culture to understanding the effects these crashes have on it, and how do we look at each one of those parts? So what can we do from a roadway infrastructure standpoint? So whether in urban areas, are we looking at kind of extending the sidewalk out a little bit more to, we call it a bulb out at the intersection, to kind of get past those parked cars so those pedestrians are more visible? Are we looking at it from reducing the speed? City of Madison has done a campaign of 20 is plenty on the residential streets to try to slow folks down, understanding that it is a kinetic energy transfer. And so the slower we can get vehicles to go, the more likely if a crash happens or when a crash happens, it's survivable. As we're thinking about our user standpoint, trying to educate our drivers and their role in this effect, and then our pedestrians to have them understand how does it work out in terms of their visibility and not having this false sense of security that just because a light changes means it's safe to cross, and kind of how do we do that? So we're trying to do each one of those components in those Vision Zeros. When you think about it from a city perspective or a county perspective, they're really thinking about what did they have control over. And so that's what the infrastructure and the users and education component to it.
Andy Bill is with us, director of the Wisconsin Local Technical Assistance Program and associate director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Lab at UW-Madison. We're talking about pedestrian safety and how to make roads safer for walkers and bikers. Andy, there was a Washington Post investigation published in December showing that Vision Zero is failing in many cities, and larger cities like Los Angeles have actually seen the death rates increase. Where do you think does Vision Zero fall short?
Yeah, so I think some of it is it's being criticized as unattainable, right? So how do we get to this zero, and what do we look at it with it, and how do we kind of balance the idea of that safety and moving traffic through. And so it does have or require a significant investment as well. And so it's being able to tie in that community component to it and saying, how are we as a community going to change the culture around our traffic safety practices and our driving practices and our walking practices? And then how do we look at the financial need for doing the infrastructure changes and things of that sort? So being able to kind of look at that and being able to say, how do we pull that together? We're all used to being in our own, if we're in our own vehicles, we want to drive at our speed and do what we want. But understanding that there's a culture that's associated with that is a really important component to it, is what is the culture that our community is willing to accept?
Andy, you've studied roundabouts, and we see them on Wisconsin state highways. How do roundabouts affect pedestrian safety?
That's a great question. As we think about roundabouts, and for pedestrians explicitly, it is slowing the vehicles down. You know, we think about a green light, people can go through at whatever speed that they were traveling prior to that coming up to that intersection. It doesn't matter what part of that roundabout that you're coming into, you have to slow down. And we try to get folks down to that 10 miles an hour, which we know that if a collision occurs at that 10 miles an hour, it is a lot more survivable for that pedestrian. So it comes down to getting those drivers to slow down. And because of the interaction, it's also getting them to pay a little bit more attention to what's going on around them. So kind of trying to reduce some of that distraction that's happening at more maybe our traditional intersections where, you know, I could just ask the audience to kind of think about it. Has there been a time where you traveled through a signalized intersection and afterwards you go, huh, was that light red or green, right? Most of the time we just, you know, subconsciously see it and go through it, but you know, we're not always fully processing what that color of that traffic signal is at that point in time.
Do you find that city planners are increasingly looking to roundabouts as they design their intersections, or where are we at with roundabouts?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a really good tool in the toolbox in terms of our interchanges and our intersections to make sure that they are being as safe as possible. It's reducing those conflict points for the other vehicles. There are other types of intersections that also reduce conflict points. So we might see a diverging diamond interchange on some of our interstate off-ramps, some of our J-turns across the state, which again is trying to reduce those angle crashes for those motor vehicles. But along with that, it also helps kind of slow folks down and have a better understanding for our pedestrians as well too. So really looking at those, we call them alternative intersections, but I think that they are becoming more and more of the norm to reduce conflict points and try to slow traffic down.
When you look at these conflict points, you know, in the case of Sasha Rosen, the boy who was walking across a multi-lane busy section of Madison. Another case was a 77-year-old woman killed crossing another heavily trafficked area. Is part of the issue pedestrians are forced to walk in dangerous areas?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to kind of think about that, right? So with a multi-lane roadway, as we think about it with regards to crossing, right? Some of the issue with those larger type roadways is that the speeds are higher. And then as we are thinking about it with regards to multiple lanes, you might see someone that stops in the lane closest to the pedestrian, right, on that sidewalk. And then from there, the person that's traveling in that next lane over may not understand why that vehicle is slowing down. So they continue to go through, but that pedestrian does not think that that other vehicle is going to be coming, right? And so then you have what we call a kind of a secondary threat that kind of goes along with this. When one vehicle stops, but then a driver in the adjacent lane doesn't, striking the pedestrian as they cross through. And so we have to look to see better explanation of, do we have enough visibility for those pedestrians? Are folks expecting to see what's going on out there? Roads are large, you know, you're getting into those conflict points on those multi-lane roadways. And so that definitely increases it as you go across those roads.
As we close here, Andy, AI increasingly a part of our life. Is there a big breakthrough in traffic engineering that is on the horizon that you see?
I hope so. We're putting more of our emphasis, especially with some of the research at the university with regards to technology and how that plays out into it. So whether that's some sort of automated vehicles that are going to be able to detect our pedestrians, and then for our pedestrians themselves, are there ways for us to be able to alert pedestrians if people are looking down and they're distracted at their cell phones, that there is a car coming towards them and being able to look at it? So, you know, with AI and technology and things of that sort, are there ways to be able to better communicate when these types of interactions may or may not occur and help be able to give better information to those pedestrians and to those drivers about what they should be expecting?
Andy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Andy Bill is director of the Wisconsin Local Technical Assistance Program and associate director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. We've been learning about how to make roads safer for pedestrians and how to slow traffic.